Warning, the following audio transmission is based on theory and is intended for entertainment purposes only. It's Doomsday and its affiliates will not be held liable for anything your dumbass does. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome everybody to It's Doomsday Podcast. We're back from Prepper Camp. Today is September 23rd. Time is 2:02. And sitting down with me is Alan from Epic Tactical and Survival. Alan, I want to know everything about Epic Tactical and Survival, but first tell me about you and your background.
Oh, geez. All right. So, well, pleasure to be here. We'll get into Prepper Camp, third year here for me.
Right.
But my background is I'm a filmmaker, an author, owner, and chief editor at Epic Tactical and Survival. Marine Corps veteran and co-owner of a distillery in North Carolina, which has bourbon on the market based on Marine Corps Raider Special Operations background.
Really? So, that's very interesting. Very interesting. So, what I got to ask, what's the name of the bourbon?
So, Southern Cross Bourbon.
So, I've seen that.
Yep. We're in all the ABC stores throughout North Carolina.
Right.
Also available online. Ships to 42 states.
Very cool.
And I could go on and on about that forever, but we've just won 4 of the top industry awards in the last couple of months.
Really?
And on the 30th, we're going to be at Weldon at the North Carolina Bourbon and Spirits Festival. We'll have a booth there. We'll be giving out free juice samples and all that stuff.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. So tell me what Epic Tactical and Survival does.
So ETS is one of the oldest blogs in the industry. So Epic Tactical and Survival, what we do is a lot of T&Es, so test and evaluations of the latest gear that comes out on the market, such as the Mantis dry fire system or the Reichert grip, which is an AR forward grip on the side, like something not on the market you ever seen. And then on top of that, we write about survival topics. We have Chris Nyerges, one of the famous Discovery Channel PAs. And he does Naked and Afraid as a technical advisor. We have Dana Benner, who is a well-known writer for Prepper magazines, as well as Backwoods. And so we write, we test, and we evaluate, and we've been doing that for almost 15 years now.
Gotcha. So, and I got to, now I got to ask this, how do you evaluate someone's survival capabilities? I got to know, and maybe I want an evaluation done on myself.
A lot of people are a lot of talk.
Right.
I mean, they think they know how to use a fire starter, but when you actually get them in the field, maybe it's pressure. And just like when you're training in firearms, people get stressed.
Right.
They often will have a fumble or a hiccup, and you're there to simply evaluate and assist them in their training and show them new nuggets or new widgets that they didn't know about before. And then ultimately, like a thing we have coming out soon, it's called Tactical Homesteader, and it's a week-long training seminar for people about everything on their homestead, from survival, bunking down, not out, and moving on from there.
Yeah, I'm not a big bug out guy. I want to bug in.
Exactly.
I don't want to leave.
Yeah, and that's something my wife and I did just recently, and yeah, we'd have it no other way.
Right. So, and I'm not going to go on too much of a rant here, but I always try to preach to people, if you could stay, stay.
Right.
Unless your house is burning to the ground or gunfire is raining down upon you, don't freaking leave, right?
Well, yeah. And here's a good story. So we lived in Raleigh for a number of years. We lived under an HOA. So when what I call the plandemic came about, I would evaluate our security at our home, what we needed to do to stay in, not bug out. But the problem was the people in the neighborhood knew my background, knew what my wife did as a profession. And at one point, the neighbor across the street, I said, he's a contractor. And I'm like, well, how can I make this window like a sniper turret or a port up here? And he laughed at me. And so you're on a different keel, with other
mindset.
People. And so you know that these people know that you're a prepper or that you have a military background or a medical background. So when the it hits the fan, I was going to say.
Oh, you
the word,
can curse on this show.
Oh, cool. When the shit hits the fan.
Yeah.
We knew and we felt they're coming to us.
Are you looking for something kick-ass to add to your closet? Reaper has the hookup for t-shirts, hoodies, button-ups, hats, beanies, and plenty of other badass products. You can check out Reaper Apparel Company at www.reaperapparelco.com and use code DOOM10 for 10% off. Jester only stands behind brands he believes in, and Dan at Reaper Apparel has a mission, and Jester is on board. Go check out www.reaperapparelco.com today and use code DOOM10 for 10% off your entire order. Why be a sheep when you can reap? Use code DOOM10 for 10% off at www.reaperapparelco.com today.
They're going to want what we have. They're going to want us to help them.
Exactly.
And it was a very unsafe situation. So from there, we made a decision to make a change, and we made it.
Yeah, so that's, I wanted to get into this story of how you got from where you were to where you are now. Because right. When you were telling me about this, when we weren't recording, I was like, I need to hear the details of this. So Lay that on me. I want the details of this story.
Well, it's interesting, and it's happened to a lot of people the last couple of years. And so, again, we are in Raleigh, and my wife was an ER nurse. She was in charge of the emergency room at a major level one trauma center in the Raleigh-Durham area. And during that time, she was setting up the triage sections outside the ER and was also doing the research on the COVID vaccine and the virus and to help the staff and the patients and everybody become aware of this. And so in the end, what happened was the local news media came to the ER and they were asking, like, how many patients are in overflow? How many are in the ICU? How bad is this? And she's like, we don't have anybody in triage right now. Our ICU one floor is totally empty. And she was truthful. And then shortly after that, when the mandate was everybody in emergency medicine at this facility had to be jabbed, she said, based on my research and her own personal medical history, she said, I am not going to take, you know, the jab for any reason. And so they promptly said, okay, well, you're fired. You're out of here. And so here's a 30-year career ER trauma nurse that started at LA County General, you know, Knife and Gun Club in Southern California. And so they just cut her like she was a piece of cheese.
Right. So let me tell you a little story real quick. And I've said this on the show. And my listeners are probably sick of hearing it, but you're going to hear it again. So I have a friend. She works at a surgical center in the state of Florida. Okay. Now, they've been jabbing her and boosting her and whatever since the pandemic started. But she got a phone call one day saying, hey, what's going on there? Your hospital is on the news, right? Because there's a refrigeration truck outside. How many dead people are in there? She's like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And she goes, there's a refrigeration truck outside. It's all over the news that your morgue is full and that there's all these COVID deaths and blah, blah, blah. She said, we're at a surgical center. It's a two-person morgue. That's Mr. Freezy. He's on contract. He shows up here about once or twice a week when the morgue is full because it only holds two people. No, there's not any record number of deaths here. But this is how they were sensationalizing everything in the media.
Right.
Right? So similar situation, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And then if you look going back to where we lived, the HOA deemed that everybody, even if you're outside of your house, had to wear a mask.
Oh, my God.
Now, they had, what do they call them, the universal mailboxes. You know, you go to a little kiosk. Outdoors, all your little mailboxes are there. You couldn't even get out of your car, cross the sidewalk to get your mail unless you had a mask on. And I absolutely refused. And so they had signs, and they had people were taking pictures of those that were unmasked, and the HOA was sending letters, and we were like, fuck this. We were so tired of it, and we were so done. And then we're like, you know, we have to make a change. And the funny thing is, when all this was going down, we attended our first prepper camp, and it was like a month after prepper camp that all this started happening. And we were like, we were going nuts. Like, got to make a change. This is not right. This does not make sense. You know, and I listened to her and my background. I was a firefighter paramedic for many, many years and retired out of a department in North Carolina.
Oh, very cool. My biggest doomsday prep of the year, I just went to EMT school.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, just to kind of further the skills and get more knowledge, you know.
Exactly.
No desire to do it for a job, but wanted that foundation.
You have to.
Yeah.
I mean, and on top of that, it's like we're not just a couple of dipshits saying we're not going to get the jab. I mean, we know what we're talking about. I'm still on a soft team that does work around the third world countries. We can talk about that later. But it's like we have knowledge of what this vaccine is. And we did our own research.
Well, yeah, and that's we did a big three-parter on the show about this mRNA technology and where it was used at. It's been years since we did that show because we did it when the pandemic first came out and they were starting to talk about these mRNA vaccines. And we went down a rabbit hole into where they were using this at overseas and the amount of deaths and complications that came from it and then what families were involved in and where the money was coming from for this.
Right.
And we were like, yeah, don't come anywhere near us with that shit. Like,
exactly. We
don't want it. Keep it away from us. And this will be the one show that they pull off YouTube.
Right.
Because of that.
Then you go to Rumble.
Right. Then you go, then you go somewhere else. But the other places, Spotify, stuff like that, they let us ride. They don't shut us down.
Cool.
So we're good there. But yeah, so we ended up getting out of our situation right before the pandemic hit as well. We lived in a little cul-de-sac in Florida, and we had property out of the state. You know, we wanted to get out of there. That was kind of our plan. And we moved out November 2019, and then boom, it was what? 6 months later, everything hit. And, and you're talking about the situation, I keep going back in my mind of going to the store sucked. Being masked up, everything to do with that sucked. It felt so nice being home, not having to be masked, walk around, be able to do whatever I want. So I could imagine not being able to go out in my yard or not being able to go check the mail and someone tell me, you can't do that.
Exactly.
I'd go too.
Yeah, it was, and the wife knows me, and it was borderline. I was going to be going to jail or prison.
Do you have enough food in your pantry for when disaster strikes? Go to www.readywise.com and utilize code DOOM10 for 10% off your entire food order. ReadyWise offers long-term food storage items such as chicken and beef that last up to 15 years. But that's not all. Go to www.readywise.com and use our code DOOM10 for 10% off of organic food as well. Offering chili, pasta, and soups, they have you covered. Did we mention they have fruits? Bananas, blueberries, strawberries, and apples, just to name a few. With many more food options for your home, car, or bug out bag, ReadyWise has your six. Go to www.readywise.com now and utilize code DOOM10 for 10% off.
It was like, because I was not quiet about it with people.
No.
But unfortunately, it's the political ideology of, you know, who wears the masks and who doesn't, and majority of the neighborhood, I mean, at that time they had the Biden-Harris flags out, you know, before the election, and so you know who your neighbors are, and they were all supporting it and all for it. That is the craziest thing.
See, what still kills me about this whole pandemic and everything that went on is whenever Trump was in office saying we have to do this, we have to do that, we have to do this, everybody was against it.
Right.
And then when, you know, Biden-Harris came in and was basically singing the exact same song, It's okay, now we'll listen.
Well, because they said, on that note, I'll never take anything that Trump puts out. I'll never trust that.
Right.
And then suddenly he's out and somebody gets the most votes in the history of a presidency. Bull. But, you know, another conversation another day. But all of a sudden they're saying, oh, the vaccine is safe. Get the vaccine. When 30 days earlier they didn't want it because it was from Trump.
Right.
I mean, if people don't wake up and
head. it's not like Trump is manufacturing this in his basement.
Right.
You know, it's these are the same people.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It blew my mind because in the way the media portrayed everything, I don't know if you remember, but Trump said, okay, we're going to let Pence be the pandemic front man. We're going to let him head all this up. And then everybody gave him shit because he wasn't involved with it. And he said, well, fine, Pence, step back. I'll come in. I'll be the front man and I'll work on this directly.
Right.
And then everybody just gave him shit. Well, you wanted him to come in here and be more involved, and he did. You're giving him shit. And it's a virus that's air fingers quote virus that's floating around the entire country that the president didn't release, doesn't have any control over, nothing, and he's not involved in medical or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to give him shit. He has no, there's nothing he can do.
Right.
Right. And then Biden comes in, I have a plan to end COVID. And everybody bought that hook, line, and sinker like it was going to do something. Anyway, so, all right, you're moving out of the HOA, not going to prison, not going to jail. So what comes next?
The wife.
The wife, okay.
Yeah, the wife just, I didn't want to push anything on her, but we had had a small little cabin up in Beach Mountain, North Carolina, outside of Boone, that we would frequent, and it was like 900 square feet, and it was a great place. And then the wife just stopped and said, you know, I'm going back to prepper camp. And she was like, you remember when we saw prepper camp? And I said, I saw you there, and never in my wildest dreams would I ever expect you, my wife, would go to a prepper camp. And she came with me that year.
Right.
Our first year. And we've been married now 42 years. So she was like, something there made sense. And she's like, and I just did something you're not going to like. And I'm like, what'd you do?
Goes, what did you do?
I went on Realtor.com. And okay. I'm like, all right, sweet. You know, we have a couple of rental properties in our house. I'm like, you know, what are you thinking?
Right.
And she found a home on top of a mountain, a log cabin, hand-built on 40 acres, off-grid with a stream and a range. And it was beautiful. Right. And with the price that went with it. And I'm like, what do you want to do? And she goes, fuck it. I want to sell everything we own and buy this. And I'm like, you have lost your mind. And
I'll trade you wives. I'll go there.
I said, look, let's go take a look at it. Right. Let's see what we think. And so, you know, we drove the hours it took to get to the property, met with a realtor, got to the property. And it's a 2 mile. Now we have a 2 mile dirt road to get to the house. And it sits on the side of the mountain. We look down below a beautiful valley.
Right.
And with 180 degree view for miles, we can see three states.
Nice.
North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia.
Very cool.
And we said, what are you looking at? What's the background of the people? And the realtor said, look, the man built this by hand. He goes, it took him over 2 years. He lived in the garage when he did it. He's like, he met a lady online. You know where this story's going.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, she got pregnant, moved into the house, saw a bear, and said, there's no way I'm having a baby in this house. Sold, moved to Georgia. We have no idea where he's at. But what's happened since then is another party bought it, and she bought it as a rental. And then they had shown the house to a couple of people, but didn't feel they were the right fit for, we'll call it the community. Now, mind you, I'm on 40 acres, and so there's a distance around everybody.
Right.
But they wanted like-minded individuals to move into this house, and they said, and we want to know your background and where you work and who you are. And so wife and I are very open with them. You know, she's like, ER nurse, this is what I do. And they're like, we will lower the price. We want you to have it. What can you afford? And so we threw them out an offer, and they accepted it.
Wow.
And so we literally... they said they would wait 60 days. We went back. We put our house on the market, our rental house on the market, the Beach Mountain cabin on the market. We took everything we had, and we bought this property. And we said, you know, we're getting the hell out of Dodge. We're done. The HOA can shove it up their ass, excuse me. But how people can live under an HOA is beyond me. When they control pretty much everything you do. Even if you want to change the color of your house, you have to submit permits to get them to approve you to get a different paint color. It's ridiculous.
Right.
But I'm telling you, being at Prepper Camp the first year, seeing Rick and Jane, who run Prepper Camp, it changed our mindset, and especially my wife. Now, my wife, you know, we grew up in Southern California, and we were definitely the outcasts for all the reasons in Southern California. But she was not one to live a prepper lifestyle, a survival lifestyle. She's an ER nurse, goes, does her thing, comes home, makes her dinner, goes to the store, buys her food. And now she's a woman that cans, you know, basically milks goats, does everything else that we need to do to make the homestead work.
Fire is one of the most basic essentials for survival. Whether you're camping, hiking, or preparing for disaster, Blackbeard has your six. Go to www.blackbeardfire.com and utilize code Doomsday for 10% off your entire purchase. Blackbeard offers stormproof matches, plasma arc lighters, fire starters, and ferro rods, all of which are great for your bug out bag. Once again, go to www.blackbeardfire.com and utilize code Doomsday for 10% off your entire purchase.
And the big thing was when we got into this home and we left the city life, we're like, okay, what did we learn at prepper camp and how can we improve? So we came back the second year to prepper camp and went through the whole prepper camp experience. And she said, I'm going to start a home-based business. And so she did. She owns Joy Fudge Company, and she makes custom homemade fudge that her grandmother taught her.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, and so that business took off. And so she does catering, and, you know, you can order online, so she mails it, and does certain little vendor events. And now that's her home-based business to help the homestead rolling.
And, right.
And that's kind of in a nutshell where we're at.
Right, wow. I mean, it's incredible, though, to go from that and just, you know, coming here and then being like, you know what, we're seeing what's going on, I'm selling everything, I'm done, and then boom, right. Out to the mountains.
Oh, yeah. No, totally.
So that's, I mean, our story was kind of similar. So we had a decent house in Florida, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't live far from the beach. Didn't live in an HOA, but lived in a code-enforced community. So I couldn't do anything without code enforcement showing up. It didn't matter what it was. If I park a trailer in the driveway, if I'm working on the fence, if I'm putting in a new gate on the fence, code enforcement guys coming out almost every day because somebody's calling to report something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is so ridiculous, the amount of control that they have over us. This is insane.
Right.
Right. So we ended up buying our property almost, it's coming up on 10 years now that we've actually had the property, dropped a house on it in 2019. And then we got a decent little log cabin there. There's a company out in Kentucky called Deer Run Log Homes, and they make and manufacture these Amish pre-made cabins. So we're like, we could take cash for that. Let's get that. And we did, and we had to drop there. And I finally pushed the wife into like, hey, we got to go. She likes the city. She likes the city life. Uh-huh. I hate it. I grew up in the backwoods of PA. I can't stand the city, right? I wanted to get the hell out of there. Yeah. And we did right before that pandemic hit. And everybody's telling me, like, how bad it was in Florida, like, what was going on because of where we lived at, because it's real condensed, a bunch of people.
Right.
All these rules and regulations are getting put in place. No one's going to the beach. There's none of this. And she's looking at me and saying, you know, this is a new way of life. This really sucks, right? And I'm like, what would you be doing in Florida right now? You'd be stuck in the house. You want to go for a drive in the mountains? We can do that here. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
So we ended up making it work, and we did. And we had a brand new baby when the pandemic hit. So we're like going through all these motions, everything, and then finally trucked back into work. And then we got the bright idea to open a restaurant during the pandemic. So we did that, right?
You like punishment?
Yeah. So we did that, and now I mean we have house property paid for, two restaurants that are doing well, and I have a regular 9-to-5, and everything just works.
Wow.
You know?
Right.
And I'm so happy that we are in the position we have, because when shit really does break bad, like you were saying, being in Florida, we went through some hurricanes, some storms down there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the only one on my house that has power. I'm the only one that has a refrigerator that's cold. I'm the only one that can make ice. I'm the only one who's living comfortably, can run my washing machine and do all these things, and everybody else in the neighborhood's knocking on the door. Can I get some ice? Can I get some this? Can I get some that?
Exactly.
It's like I like my neighbors,
right?
But I don't like that they're not self-sufficient.
Yep.
And I'd rather not have any neighbors and be self-sufficient by myself versus knock, knock, knock. Can I get this? Can I get that? Et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
So I was like, I told the wife, I was like, look, shit's eventually going to break bad. It's coming. So we need to get the hell out of here, and we need to be in a position to where we're out off-grid. And same kind of situation, nice mountain views. We have two springs and a creek on the property, so unlimited access to water.
Yep.
I got to get my solar game going a little bit, but other than that, we're doing pretty well.
Right.
Want to be a guest on the show? Email itsdoomsdaypodcast@gmail.com. That's itsdoomsdaypodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, no, we've got generator, you know, we've got the springs. It's a wonderful lifestyle, but I'll tell you, when you're born, long story short, I mean, I was born in Hollywood, California. I grew up as a child actor and grew from there. And it's like going from that to this, it's a change. But what people need to know is, even if you're in a Raleigh community or Charlotte or who knows where, you know, Virginia Beach, and you choose this kind of a lifestyle, it's such a radical change, a good one. But you've got to take in consideration your neighbors and the community you're moving to.
Right.
I mean, we are moving into their backyard, and we need to adapt to how Appalachia works. You know, they're different in Tennessee, you know, and in a good way. And so they're very much farmers, very much tight-knit. They don't accept outsiders very often. And so we're here to present who we are with them and not just say, hey, we're here and, you know, this is what we got and this is what we do. It's like, no, there's no attitude. We're here to help you, and you let us know how we can help you as your new neighbors.
Right.
And it's all about attitude.
You know, and I'll tell you what, the big thing for me in any apocalyptic scenario, I don't care what it is, your first primary threat is going to be whatever happens.
Right.
Whether it's EMP or another pandemic or nuclear attack, then your secondary threat are the people.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because everything that follows is famine, and people will kill to eat, disease, because there's not going to be anybody to treat, no emergency services, nothing. So I'd rather, when shit hits the fan, I want to be somewhere where there is nobody.
Exactly. Right? Well, you got the wolf preppers.
Yeah, well, you've got these guys now, too, these werewolf preppers that, and I mean, I know they exist. I know they're out there, and what's... I'm not going to risk my life for a can of beans. If you want to try to get in my home to get that, you're probably not going to make it back out. And we have a backhoe. I'll pre-dig holes while diesel's before it's gone, you know?
Yep.
So I'm not too worried about that. And, I mean, I can handle my own. I'm fine. And I wouldn't be the door I would knock on in the apocalypse.
Exactly.
I would not be that... You don't want to knock on my door.
They'd have a bad day with a bad decision.
They'd have a very short day.
That's true.
It'd be bad, but it'd be very short at the same time. So, Alan, just before we get out of here, any final message you'd like to give the listeners? Where can they find you? You got social media, anything like that?
Yeah, no, they're welcome to go to epictactical.com.
Okay.
Check out what we do on the latest gear and the reviews and what Chris Nyerges and Dana writes about in the survival community. That's the best place, southerncrossbourbon.com. It's for our distillery based out of Durham, North Carolina.
Very cool.
And the rest is history. I just tell people, get in the right mindset. Look at what happened last year. Look at what's happening today. It's not improving, folks.
No.
And it's not about being right-wing conspiracy theories or preppers or survivalists. It's about being an American and doing the right thing and waking up. Right?
Exactly.
Honestly.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Always. Pleasure.
Emergency action message. At approximately 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, NORA is tracking 15 ICBM nuclear missiles inbound to the following cities: Orlando, Miami, Pittsburgh, Dover, Newark, Richland, Philadelphia, New York City, Baltimore, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Boston, Seattle, Detroit. This is an extremely deadly situation. Stay tuned, the next emergency message will be a presidential address.